Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethea, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned base renewable energy companies to address the effects of higher energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and the underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know, ladies and gentlemen, when, as you join us every week, that this program is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Go over to our GoFundMe link and you will truly find out that we're not the greedy here. We're just the needy here. So if you want to contribute to keeping this platform alive, we are coming to you over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are can be heard on iTunes. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. You also know if you join us every week, this show is brought to you by the Blacks National Association of Blacks and Solar, and you can get more information on that organization by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a scheduled guest for today's show, but I have an interesting, very interesting subject matter that dates back to last year, and it even goes back a bit farther than that as it relates to the District of Columbia. So what I'd like to do is sort of give you some historical background as to why this subject matter is so important as we lead off on our caption our title for our show, The National Economic Impacts of Consumers Without Access to Their Energy Data, which has been deactivated by the utility companies on 14 million U.S. citizens. And that will include small businesses, churches, and folks who have rooftop solar, apartment buildings. What is this about? What is this really about? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find out that the value of the energy industry is based on what we call follow the money. They always follow the money. There is something in this country called the commodities market, ladies and gentlemen, and they are known as RECs. Commonly break it down so my listening audience can understand what RECs are. They are called green energy credits, which are traded over the U.S. commodities market on a daily basis. Now, we have reached out for a number of individuals who have expertise in this arena, and we're going to sort of start our show by looking at an article was sent out over a year ago as it relates to African Americans in the District of Columbia and residents of the District of Columbia that have had their data sharing option deactivated by Pepco. Now, this has been a prolonged battle, ladies and gentlemen. It goes back to the beginning, the Renewable Portfolio Standard legislation being signed into law in 2016 by Mayor Bowser, when they had a 50% threshold for renewable energy by 2032. Now, what that means in common layman's terms is that the District of Columbia has passed legislation, the city council and the mayor signed off on it, saying by a designated point in the future, year 2032, that 50% of all of the energy that will be utilized in the District of Columbia must come from renewable sources, whether they be wind, whether it be hydrogenetics, whether it be nuclear, whether it be biofuels, or solar energy. Looking at that, it said, in the legislation, which will help reduce 100,000 low and moderate income residents' energy costs or bills by 50% by the year 2032. This was what was written into this legislation, which is the most aggressive renewable portfolio standard law, I think, that has been passed in the U.S. So with that being said, we have to look at, well, what does this mean in terms of people understanding what it is that they are expected to do, and how does this affect their pocketbook on a day-to-day basis? Now, when we began to look at what has taken place in the District of Columbia, there was a series of articles that were published here that impacts on this. And one of those articles, as I indicated, was written by an organization that called Mission Data. And Mission Data's article went on to say that it was written by the president of the organization, and I've had the privilege of speaking with this gentleman, and they do an excellent job in what they do, Mary. And their article went on to say, we have paid for it through our taxes and electric bills. It is our data, and we should have access to it. Now, Mission Data is a nonprofit tech coalition promoting standards-based energy data profitability innovation in software, renewable and energy efficiency. Now, this is very important, ladies and gentlemen. It is important to the fact that this information was put out by an organization, which I have quite a bit of admiration for, called Solar United Neighbors, and it's headed by Mrs. Anna Schulman. Now, Mrs. Schulman's organization is an educational nonprofit organization that teaches regular people in communities how to form a co-op, how to go about selecting an installer, how to go about purchasing of solars, how to look at and determine what quality of panels does the individual group want to buy. And that is very, very important. And the reason why it's important, because with the same number of panels that it would take to put what we call a 5 kW system on a small roof, similar to the architectural designs we have here in Washington, D.C., because we have quite a bit of row housing or homes that are connected to each other. And most of those systems that, based on the square footage of the roof, are 5 kW systems, and it takes about 20 panels. But you can have a 10 kW system with the same number of panels simply by investing a little more money and buying much more efficient renewable panels, because as the industry has move forward on research and develop, there's been a tremendous amount of improvement in solar panel or PV panel efficiency in terms of how much energy those panels can take in from direct sunlight and what they can generate out for homes and businesses across this country. Now, this issue comes down to looking at density of population. Washington, D.C., we have a population over 800,000 residents in 2023, looking at data from the 2000 census. You also have Exelon as the holding company for Pepco, which is the local utility provider for the District of Columbia. And there has been quite a bit of movement around this issue, activation of 14 million meters across this country. So we know it's not just a District of Columbia problem. This is a national problem, ladies and gentlemen. Now, many of the complaints that have been filed and many hearings have been held here in Washington, D.C. at the local Public Service Commission under former head of the commission, Mrs. Betty Ann Keynes, and we had Mr. Willie Phillips. Now we have Mr. Emmanuel Thomas, who is now the new head of the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C. But residents have been complaining, going to hearings since 2017, I know personally, because I've attended a great number of these public service commissions in the past. And it has been quite an educational process in listening to D.C. resident homeowners who have installed PV systems on their roofs and felt that they were not being properly given the enumeration for the amount of energy that their systems have generated that have gone back into the grid. And when that energy that is not used by that homeowner goes back in the grid, it's through a process called net metering. And it basically, the utility companies are able to tell how much energy your systems generate, how much energy is being used by that household, and what is going back into grid. And for that energy that goes back into the grid, it takes 1,000 watts to make 1 kilowatt hour. They are trading for over $325 a kilowatt hour in March 22nd, 2023. That is a lot of what we call cheddar, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake, this is a serious game now and business. Now, without the consumer having access to their data, and when you say deactivate, that means it's been cut off by the utility companies, then you don't know what your system is doing. Which leads us into the title of our show today, as we look at correspondence to Secretary Jennifer Granholm's letter dated February the 22nd, 2023, was written by my congressman, Senator Van Hollen, and Senator Welch to the Secretary of Energy here in Washington, D.C. We will get to that a little later in our show today. But we're going to continue to set the table as we look at the history of this issue in Washington, D.C. Now, I know for a fact the U.S. Attorney's Office, which I'll be reaching out to try to see if I can get an interview, also reached out and will be reaching back out to Mrs. Sandra Frye, who is lead general counsel for the District of Columbia Public Service Commission here in our nation's capital, to see if we can get an update on the status of the lawsuit that was filed by the U.S. former U.S. attorney back in March of 2022. So this lawsuit has been in place for a year. And nobody's talking about it, absolutely nobody, except yours truly, here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, this article was broke on March 23rd, 22 in the D.C. List. It's an online, excellent blog and news source. PEPCO systematically mishandling solar projects, says D.C. Attorney General. Thousands of solar consumers have been shortchanged by PEPCO, according to the complaint. PEPCO has committed a pattern of systematic violations and its handling of solar projects in D.C., potentially overcharging more than 6,000 consumers of the D.C. Office of the Attorney General and the Office of the People's Counsel. The two offices jointly filed a complaint today detailing the allegations, saying that the power company's actions are undermining the process towards the district's clean energy and climate goals. Complaints from developers, consumers, and the District of Columbia Department of Energy staff illuminated PEPCO has repeatedly violated its legal requirements in as it reads. Now, there is a link. You can go and find this information by logging on to positivechangepc.com. You want to click on, go look at our archives for our articles, and you want to click on October of 2022, and you'll be able to find this article. The alleged violations have to do with community solar installations in the district where residents who may not have a roof to put up their own solar panels or who may not be able to make investments can subscribe to a larger solar project. In return, subscribers are supposed to get credits on their PEPCO bills, reducing electric charges depending on how much power their share of community solar projects have generated during a given building period. PEPCO's actions has resulted in higher monthly household energy bills that subscribers should be paying the bills. Of the 6,200 community solar subscribers in the city, 5,000 are enrolled for free through the Solar for All program, paid by the District of Columbia Energy Environment. The program is available to any residents making less than 80% of the area median income and promises to cut subscribers' electricity bills in half for 15 years. This program, Solar Fall, was developed in order to ensure that more district residents, specifically those who are low income or don't have real estate for solar panels themselves, should be able to join an effort that the district has embarked on to ensure that meets the clean energy goals moving forward, said Karen K-O-N-P-K-A, Attorney General, who led the OAG Public Advocacy Division. The complaint was filed with the D.C. Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities in the city. According to the complaint, PEPCO has botched its handling of community solar projects in numerous ways. The utility is undercounting solar energy generation at the community level projects according to the filing and is systematically failing to provide accurate and timely solar credits to customers. Jamie Caswell, a spokesperson for PEPCO, said it was premature to comment on the complaint as the company has not had time to fully view it yet. We are committed to helping D.C. residents achieve leading climate goals and continue consumers with interconnecting their local solar into the local energy grid and helping to connect our customers with community solar projects, Caswell said in an email to D.C. List. The media outlet that published this article. The filings detail numerous solar violations where Pepco installed its own meters to monitor electricity production. Some months, Pepco has reported zero electricity generated from facilities despite the facility's owners recording continued generation. These discrepancies, the filings say, indicate that Pepco is undercounting solar production and underpaying solar subscribers. Now, this only covered people who are called the Community Solar Subscription Program. Ladies and gentlemen, what about the homeowners, the residents? What about small businesses? What about churches in the District of Columbia that's installed PV systems? You will find through this broadcast that their meters have been deactivated and means they have been cut off. Now, I've called in the past and I've had individuals who I know personally to do this. Not only is Pepco doing that, Pepco actions are a setback for DC's efforts to cut greenhouse emissions, transmission to clean energy to make sure low-income residents benefit from solar, according to the filing. DC law, 100% of electricity sold in the city must come from clean energy sources by 2032. Well, that's because they passed the Omnibus Act of 2018, and it doubled the value of the extracts because you take it from 50% to 100%. Now, Pepco and the lawmakers and the city council, they knew exactly what they were doing, okay? The way the legislation is written, Pepco, the utility company in the district, with over 378,000 residents, I've had the privilege of knowing Ms. Donna Cooper, who is the president of Pepco and a dynamic African-American woman, and her lead engineer, who also is African-American, who I've had this privilege of sitting down and talking to them. They said to me, Mr. Bethane, look, we have a problem. We are able to buy what we call these credits, these green credits for wind, hydrogenetics, which deals with dams, with nuclear, from outside energy generators outside of the district. But for solar, it must come from the physical land mass of the District of Columbia. She said, the head of the technology and engineering component department at Pepco said, look, we've had and done our due diligence. We've done our drone flyovers. We know that the homeowners in the District of Columbia, wards 5, 6, 7, and 8, where that are still have a large African-American population base in them. The housing stock is 50 to 100 years old. The homeowners are 55 years and older, and that means you must do rooftop repair. Unless the mayor, Bowser, is willing to pump in $50 to $90 million through the DC Department of Housing to help low-income residents who are in fixed income. Somebody call them baby boomers. You know it is. I know one truly, personally, myself. Repair their roof. We'll never offset this. We'll have to pay a fine because we can't buy these credits. Now, 2018, I will never forget Mrs. Sandra Fry, who's lead attorney for the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., in her testimony, which I have here in my office. She said, Pepco came by what Pepco can't get. She was speaking to the fact you don't have enough businesses, the federal government, the D.C. government, your nonprofit sector in the district, your commercial sector in the district, which would take in all your restaurants, nightclubs, hotel associations, buildings in the city don't have enough PV systems, which are Pepco's customers. They got over 378,000. They don't have enough solar systems on their rooftops where Pepco can purchase these credits from to offset the shortfall. Now, Coal is a utility company. They have something called shareholders, stockholders. They're not a charity. They're in business to make money. So I understand it. But what I don't understand, how you pass these fees are being passed back on to the ratepayers in form of fees. Now, recently, Pepco has been criticized for levying fees averaging up to $10,000 on residents installing solar panels on their rooftops and for bogging down the solar projects by slowing down the interconnect with them to the power grid. According to the complaint, both Attorney General's office and the People's Counsel's office and the independent agencies that advocate for utility ratepayers 2 years in trying to get Pepco to address problems with handling the community solar without success. After a lot of time, work, and Pepco has been brought this case in order for the Public Service Commission to investigation into into Pepco's actions. The problem is, what about the homeowner? What about the small businesses? What about the churches? What about the people who own property, who have put PV systems on their commercial buildings? Their systems have been deactivated too. Who's looking out for them? You'll find out the only person who's been looking out for them is the person behind this mic, yours truly. Let's move this conversation and that's what we call fast forward this. All right, as we begin to look at fees from Pepco put solar panels out of reach in DC for DC residents. This is an article that appeared in the Washington Post on the same date that this other article broke. This was February 23rd, 2022. So it was a month before then. An actual 30-day month before that, because the other article was printed on March 23rd, 2022. Washington Post. This article was written by Maxine Jaslow, who talked about Dina Stipe and Alex Hillbrand set out aside their Northwest D.C. home on February the 23rd. They wanted to get solar panels on their roof, but say nearly a $20,000 fee from Pepco to upgrade the neighborhood electric distribution system is a barrier. This is what they have been doing to D.C. residents. This letter that they received said, under the fee, the letter from Pepco said, to couple the need to pay a fee of $19,797 to upgrade the electric distribution system in their neighborhood before installing solar panels. Otherwise, the system would be unable to handle the extra power generated by solar panels, which themselves cost about the same as much as the Pepco fee. In other words, Pepco fee will cost you as much as it will cost you to put the system on your rooftop. Let me repeat that. Pepco's fee will cost you as much as a system will cost, especially if you use the federal tax credit that the Biden administration has, in fact, passed, giving people a $7,500 federal tax credit if they install a PV system on their roof. If there are other local incentives, you can add that to them, which many of them are unfunded, which is another subject matter. But staying into the keeping this tight and focus on what we're trying to get clear to our listening audience today, this is another way for the solar companies, and it undermines the solar companies, it undermines the solar industry, especially those smaller minority-owned firms that can't compete with the big boys after the major contracts in the city. They have to go after a market niche, and they're basically trying to do what? Rooftop solar, which will go on people's homes. This undermines that. Now, when we began to look at this from a national standpoint, it also undermines the National Community Solar Program, which Biden administration is looking at how they are going to launch this on a national level. An article which you'll be able to find on my website under News and Events tab, it was put out by the U.S. Department of Energy, dated November the 9th, 2022. We're still in 2022, ladies and gentlemen. 1,000 partners, 700 organizations, and 50 states are participating in this. Now, who are national community partners? They represent a diverse group of community stakeholders, including community members and community-based organizations, solar developers, financial institutions, state and local tribes, territorial governments, representatives, utilities, and nonprofits, and any individual organization supporting the increase of equitable access to community solar based in the United States to encourage partnerships. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the deactivation of these meters undermines the whole program for the U.S. Department of Energy. Now, you're going to find out how serious this is after we take a slight pause for the cause, and we come back and we look at what are the national implications and economic impacts for the solar industry. U.S. Congressman, if the U.S. Congress and the Biden administration do not address how electricity turning off the data sharing features on 14 meters, which brings us back to our original topic. Now, there has been a letter written to Secretary General for Grant Holmes, and we're going to jump back into this conversation after you. If you want to call, 646-668-2948. I forgot to put that out at the beginning of the show, ladies and gentlemen. That is our call-in number. It is 646-668-2948. You want to call that number, remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you on into our living room, and we want you to share in this conversation. So we're going to take a slight pause for the cause, ladies and gentlemen, here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song, what's made life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. Your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis that this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, with creating market share for African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to bring down, to initiate initiatives and programs, renewable energy programs, to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women at our historically Black colleges and universities nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through the Black community, through Black Talk programs around these issues, which affects the bottom line, your pocketbook, okay? February the 22nd of 2023. As I indicated, Senator Van Hollen from Maryland and Senator Peter Welch, United Senator, both sent a letter to the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm. This letter went on to say, Honorable Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy, U.S. Department of Energy. Dear Secretary Granholm, as the lead sponsors of the Hope for Homes Act in Congress, we urge the Department of Energy, DOE, to swiftly issue new guidelines to enhance access to customers' energy data as part of the department implementation of the Homes Energy Performance-Based Whole House Rebate Homes Program and the Smart Grid Grant Program. Specifically, we urge DOE to do the following. Issue guidelines as required by the Inflation Reduction Act to enhance residential electric and natural gas data sharing for homes and rebate programs. So this is not just for solar, but it's also for natural gas. Issue guidance to smart grid programs, applicants making it clear that grant funds must be used to build out the IT infrastructure necessary to meet DOE's requirements for data standards, micro-reprocessability, reliability, and access. The guidance should clarify that these requirements apply to the entirety of the utility applicant service territories so all customers can benefit. Research and experience provides consumers with access to energy data to use, help save money, reduce the usage, and promote innovations, for example. These are some of the examples that were cited in the correspondence. When consumers can easily exchange their information with energy management services online, they can save and reduce their energy bills by as much as 18%. Data profitability in the electrification and natural gas sectors allow entrepreneurs to develop new technologies to help consumers manage their energy usage, reduce peak demand. Profitability also supports grid flexibility and automation, as well as utilities can manage electricity demands more economically. However, inefficient access to energy data has hindered the success of efficiency programs for decades. Despite significant federal investments in the smart grid technology deployment, energy rent remains one of the last outstanding areas of commerce where consumers consistently do not know how much a good will cost before purchasing it. Past federal investments in consumer energy data access and profitability, such as investments made in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, have fallen short of their goals. As of 2022, only 3% of the ARR funded meters with real-time data capabilities have those tools enabled, and only 14% of the consumers can easily share their energy data with contractors, energy management services using interface offered by their utilities. We must chart a more successful path on energy data access. We implemented the Homes Rebate Program and Smart Grid Program. Energy data profitability is essential for homes in the program. The Inflation Reduction Act required DOE to publish guidelines for states relating to residential electric and natural gas data sharing for home programs. It is understanding DOE has not published these guidelines. Administration of homes will be dramatically more effective and effective with secure automated data access in the sharing system. Urge DOE to work closely with data access stakeholders and experts to quickly develop the data access guidelines required by statutes of the state. Energy offices, entities charged with implementing the program, may begin developing plans best suited for their respective states. We also urge DOE to publish guidelines for state energy offices before they are required to begin operating the program. State energy offices will need time to design programs to meet DOE's guidelines to hire and train staff to run programs and implement data sharing provisions. The Data Grid Grant Program provides funding to improve power system flexibility, efficiency, and reliability. Consumers and certified third-party access to energy usage data should enhance the system, which uses digital communication technology to respond to changes in energy uses. We are pleased that DOE is funding the opportunity announcement release November of 2022, include requirements of a smart grid projection supported by data standards in respectability access to real-time data. We appreciate DOE's previous work on energy data access and believe now is the time to ensure past missed opportunities are not repeated. The smart grid programs represent opportunity to advance projects that will facilitate efficiency, secure consumer access to energy data, enabling more successful implementation of energy efficiency programs for decades to come. Ladies and gentlemen, I've given you the meat of this letter. The fact of the matter is, ain't none of this happening. I'm going to have, and this is going to be a series of podcasts around this issue, because I haven't even scratched the surface on this thing. We have reached out to Earth Justice, an organization which is a nonprofit organization with over 150 lawyers nationwide that comes on Black Talk mainstream media talking about with their commercial, the earth, and this is a case that we can't lose. But when I filed this inquiry asking them who's looking out for the D.C. ratepayers, now let me share some of the comments and observations that have been made as relates to this issue. I have sent a request to Mr. Michael Murray, president of Mission Data, asking if he will come on some of our future podcasts in the very near future. I'm going to I'll be following up on that. We've sent a request in to Mrs. Sandra Fry. But I want to share with you a letter that I went sent to Muhammad, who is the Associate Director for the Mayor's Office on African American Affairs here in Washington, D.C., back last year, reference. But who's looking out for Washington, D.C. small business churches and homeowners that have installed solar on their rooftop? Brother Cedric, I remember attending hearings in front of the D.C. Council and the Public Service Commission concerning many white D.C. resident homeowners that have installed panels on their roofs in the district, and many of them felt they were being taken advantage of at the time, and this was back in 2017. In 2018 and 19 today, it is clear in 2022 that many of these who testified in front of the D.C. Public Commission back during the time period were right. I have not spoken to the D.C. Attorney General's office about this issue, but I have spoken with several D.C. residents about their meters being turned off. I'm going to have some of those homeowners on some of my next shows. I promise you that. Okay? And what you will find below is links that I have gone through today. But I shared this information with you to set a historical background as that this ain't new. As we make it plain in the hood, this ain't no new story, ladies and gentlemen. And the fact of the matter is, as I said, we're talking about billions of dollars when you're talking about 14 million people. If you're talking about, if these meters have been deactivated across this country, it is happening everywhere where the local utilities are taking these credits and they are selling these credits over the commodities market, and they're raking in buku dollars. This is bigger than the crack cocaine piece. When we get to talking about the money, we're talking about every time the sun come up, folks are getting paid off the backs of residents who've installed PV systems on their roof, who can't take advantage of the sunlight hitting their roof when they invested in the system. Some folks had to take out loans to fix their roof before they put the PV system on. So they had the cost of their roof, the new roof installed, plus the PV system that they supposed to be benefiting from these credits, and the utility company's taking them. This is the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. This cuts across all races, denominations, and isms, classism, sexism, or race. It don't matter. The utility companies ain't got no cut. But you have to understand, the utility companies was legislated in the district into this position. So you got to have the right implementation of these programs. And if you're not following the implementation of how these funds and all this stuff is going down, you go from being being able to take advantage of to being taken advantage of. Now, this is real, ladies and gentlemen. Look, this concludes my show for the day. I hope everybody out here who ain't listening, start listening. Because when I know people who had bills that were around $20 a month and real happy, now their meters have been deactivated and they're getting electric bills with a PV system on their roof over $200 a month. And most of it's in fees. So people are being taken to the cold-blooded cleaners. And one thing about the electricity bill, if you don't pay it, they cut it off. So you're not going to get that money. So the bottom line is, if you've invested in a PV system, we need to reverse this process. So we're going to stay on top of this issue. I hope we bought news that you can definitely use. And like we said, and when we show close this program out here, we don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, even though I didn't have no guests today, ladies and gentlemen, I think you want to tell everybody to listen to this particular program, okay, and this particular show, okay? Because like I said, one of the homeowners said to me, well, Ron, ain't nobody listening. I said, well, brother, you better get busy with you listening. So if ain't nobody listening but you, and I've helped you in the past, at least you should give me the respect to listen. So when I got to call people and say you need to tune into my podcast, that shows me they ain't serious. But they better get serious, because this is serious. And that's how we close another edition of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact. As we always say, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us back here. As we say, go in peace, as we close another exciting edition of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Singing.